Let us be in a time of prayer. The thing is to love life, to love it even when you have no stomach for it, and everything you've held dear crumbles like burnt paper in your hands, your throat filled with the silt of it. When grief sits with you, its tropical heat thickening the air, heavy as water, more fit for gills than lungs. When grief weights you down like your own flesh, only more of it, an obesity of grief, you think, how can a body withstand this? Then you hold life like a face between your palms, a plain face, no charming smile, no violet eyes, and you say, yes, I will take you. I will love you again. Amen.
Oh, Rebecca, won't you call on the Spirit? Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Rebecca, won't you call on the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Catherine, won't you call down the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come.
Oh, Catherine, won't you call down the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Ellie, won't you call on the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come.
Oh, Ellie, won't you call down the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Ellen, won't you call down the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come.
Oh, Ellen, won't you call down the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Claire, won't you call down the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come.
Oh, Claire, won't you call down the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Sarah, won't you call down the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come.
Oh, Sarah, won't you call down the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Paul, won't you call down the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come.
Oh, Paul, won't you call down the Spirit?
Holy Spirit, come. Lindalians, oh, Lindalians, won't you call down the Spirit? Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Lindalians, won't you call down the Spirit? Holy Spirit, come. All God's people, won't you call down the Spirit? Holy Spirit, come. All God's people, won't you call down the Spirit? Holy Spirit, come. Come, fire, come, wind. Holy Spirit, come. Come, fire, come, wind. Holy Spirit, come. Come, life, come, power. Holy Spirit, come. Come, life, come, power. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
I invite us into a time of silent confession, lifting up our humanness and letting go of what keeps us from whole relationship with the divine, with our neighbors, and with all created beings. Holy One, who is still speaking through our words and our actions, help us to hear your assurance in the peaceful justice we share together. You will always welcome us by name. Amen. And now, you may unmute as we share with each other God's peace. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
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 Peace all.
Peace of Christ.
Everybody.
Everyone.
Peace to
all.
Peace to all.
Peace,
everyone.
Wait, one more Lulu showing. Just one more.
One more Lulu showing. That's good. Lulu's going to give us peace.
Peace, everyone.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye, Lulu.
Thank you for that blessing.
I'll stop doing that now.
Please don't.
Are we ready for the scripture reading?
I believe so, Alan. Thank you.
Sure. Today's scripture is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13, selected verses. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to Jesus, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Humanity coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, This generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But after that day, but about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only God, the Father and Mother. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. This ends the gospel reading today.
Hello, everyone. It's really wonderful to be with you this morning. Rebecca invited me to preach, you know, many weeks ago before we had any idea what the events of the last week and a half would be. So it feels certainly like a really humbling and complex task to be commenting at all, to have my voice be the one you hear, particularly because you don't know me, I don't know you, and I just want you to know I'm really aware of that. And so I wrote this sermon very much from the perspective of a UCC pastor who has served in UCC churches, a white woman talking to majority white congregations. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there, that was the perspective that I was coming from. I also want to say that my mom is here. You may have noticed Jane Henderson. And what a neat thing about this online worship, that even though she lives in the Twin Cities as well, but she's sheltering in Wisconsin, but she can be here. And she often comes, when I was serving a church, she would come to see me preach often. So it's just really cool that she's here. Hi, Mom. Glad you're here. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like to begin this sermon by sharing some words with you that were posted on Facebook by my friend and colleague, the Reverend Jane McBride, another UCC pastor. And she serves First Church of Minnesota, which is located right by 35W in Southeast Minneapolis, right near where the truck plowed into protesters. Who can forget that terrible moment last week? And she was writing about the state of emergency that we are in with racism and policing and the chaos in our city. And she wrote, "This is a war for our souls, a war that rages all around us and also within each of us. The police, fire department, and National Guard do not have the capacity to make our community safe and whole. The territory is enormous and they cannot be everywhere, but that's not the real problem. Even if we had thousands more troops, their ability to support the flourishing of our community is deeply compromised by white supremacy. What I mean by white supremacy is a system of white dominance that is in the very air we breathe. I am not pointing fingers here. I too am entangled in that system. I am privileged by it. My judgment is compromised by it. I am as responsible as any other white person for the suffocating knee on the neck of my black and brown neighbors. I know that it is my life's work to fight this evil, and that the first battleground is within myself." when I read those words, I felt very moved by them, and I recognized myself in them because I feel that war in my mind and in my heart. And perhaps you feel it too. Maybe you, like me, are feeling broken open by this time, acquainted more than ever with your brokenness, with our collective brokenness, wondering what to do with all these shards, wondering how to hold on to a hope that isn't cheap, but grounded in reality. And it's moments like these that I am most grateful to be part of a faith tradition, to be reminded that while the circumstances of this moment are completely unique to our culture and place, many of these feelings that we're having are not. Our sacred text knows about these feelings we're having because its stories were told by fellow humans. And no matter our path through the human experience, there is truth and wisdom in the Bible that can speak to us. This past week, as my spouse and I hunkered down in our home off Lake Street in South Minneapolis, I was reminded of today's reading, Mark 13, which scholars have given the nickname the Little Apocalypse because it contains themes and imagery similar to the book of Revelation, which you might call the Big Apocalypse. What do you think of when you hear that word, apocalypse? Popular culture supplies us with a lot of imagery, books, movies, television, video games. They all offer a buffet. Pick your poison, nuclear war, ecological collapse, alien invasion, meteorological impact, pandemic. That one hits really close to home right now. It's all the stuff of nightmares, the things we're most afraid of as a people, our shared anxieties. To understand any piece of apocalyptic literature or art, you have to understand the fears of the age that produced it. And so we ask ourselves, what were the fears of the early followers of Jesus? What kept them up at night? What fears were embedded in their stories of the end of the world? And this is what we know. Jesus and his early followers were Jews living with a legacy of enormous social upheaval and displacement. For centuries before the Common Era, the people of Israel were at war with and exiled by much more powerful nations. By the first century, they were living under Roman military occupation. In such a world, power was abused, leaders were corrupt, and resources were hoarded. The rich only got richer, while the poor only got poorer. No one was truly a winner in this kind of world, but the already vulnerable, the people living nearest to the edges, were always the ones who suffered the most. Sound familiar? And Jesus, as we know, was drawn like a holy magnet to the already vulnerable, the widows and the orphans, the little children, the social outcasts and the sinners, the poor and the sick. Those were his people, his beloved. And I think Jesus had an amazing insight about these people, which was this: if the world promises you nothing but suffering, then maybe the end of the world is not such a bad thing. In fact, perhaps that is exactly what you have been dreaming about, the destruction of this world and its present arrangements, which offer you no hope, and the birth of a new world with different arrangements and the possibility of hope. In other words, a new world not governed by human law, but in its stead governed in accordance with the justice and mercy of God. Mark 13 isn't simply about the end of the world. It's about the end of the world as we know it. That message would have been incredibly compelling to Jesus's friends and followers. the story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, offered a new paradigm, a whole new story. In Jesus' story, power isn't man-made, won through military might or wealth. In Jesus' story, real power flows from only one source, God. And God's power is designed not to oppress the lowly. God's power is designed to lift them up. Now imagine that you are a first century follower of Jesus. Your life has been unbelievably difficult. You have tasted death on a daily basis. You yearn for this new world that Jesus promises, that his followers promise. You are poised and ready for the transformation, eager for God to wipe your tears away. But then it doesn't happen. Not in your lifetime, not in your children's lifetimes. For the early Christ followers, the continuance of the old world order, it was really anticlimactic, to put it mildly. But here's the twist. Jesus didn't leave them hanging. He had words for them. We heard them. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. These words of Jesus have echoed down through generations, from the first century all the way to the 21st. And I think they function as both a reassurance and a warning, depending on who you are. I suspect that many of us, especially those of us who are white and educated with safety nets strung beneath us, we've been lulled into complacency and a false sense of security. And I'll speak for myself. As much as I talk about wanting the world to change, there's a lot about the current world order that suits me more than I'd like to admit. But here's the good news. I think the week following George Floyd's terrible, tragic, unnecessary death has been a little apocalypse. And I don't say little in the sense of anything being minimal. I say little in the sense of foreshadowing something much bigger. Here's a summary of what that this past week, week and a half, has been like for me as a resident of South Minneapolis right off Lake Street. Maybe you'll identify with some of this. I have felt on edge as helicopters, sirens, strange booms, and alarming sounds. Was that a gunshot, or the ambient background noise? I have felt demoralized by the sight of familiar businesses destroyed, many owned by people of color and crucial to our community infrastructure. I have felt terrorized by big trucks speeding up our street or driving very slowly, and groups of young white men, some armed, roaming our streets, and by news of incendiary devices hidden on the property of homes and businesses right around the corner from where we live. I have felt exhausted, my own history of trauma activated by the experience of always being on alert, cortisol coursing through my body and my adrenal system never really calming down. My block is organized and looking out for each other, which is amazing, but so strange. I've never had the experience of protecting my neighborhood because no one else will. I have felt sick to my stomach, realizing that although I always looked at the police with skepticism and criticized them as an institution, I still, in my heart of hearts, counted on them on some level, believed they would still show up for me in times of public emergency. And that selfish trust, which allowed me to prioritize my own security over my neighbors' lives has finally been shattered by the MPD. The MPD, which appears far more interested in brutally punishing protesters, arresting and assaulting journalists, and from the mouthpiece of their union leader, glorifying and killing like it's a professional accomplishment, than protecting all of the people who live in this city. I haven't seen a uniformed police officer in days and days, but if I did, I've realized something. I would be scared. I wouldn't think, oh good, help is here. My first instinct would probably be to back up. And I have felt all these things knowing that I have all this time been really relatively safe, all things considered, because I am a white, upper middle class, property owning, educated woman. And I'm telling you all this because these experiences have been educational and humbling. And running beneath all these feelings is a deeper dawning as knowledge moves from brain to gut, from intellectual to visceral. I'm realizing that my feelings of the past week are a small, small taste of how many Black and Brown communities and people feel all the time. And they haven't felt this way for a temporary week. They've felt this way for lifetimes, for generations upon generations upon generations, stretching back to a time not so very long ago in the scheme of human history when white supremacy was the law in every sense of the word. What does that do to a body, a family, a community? A people. Why do I tolerate that kind of suffering in the body of Christ? Let us remember the word apocalypse doesn't actually mean destruction, not in the original Greek and not in the biblical context. In the biblical context, apocalypse means revelation, a revealing, a disclosing, an uncovering of truth and wisdom. As always seems to be the case, actually understanding a little bit more makes me realize how much I still don't know. And so I realize it's time for me to listen and pay attention to Black voices and Black leadership. How would anyone else know where to lead us now? I'm praying that the old world is dying and that the violence and chaos around us are signs, are death throes, or perhaps birth pangs, maybe both. If a new world is being born, I am certain, my fellow white people, that we are not the midwives. But no matter who we are, if we keep awake and alert and watch, I think we will find our role. And we will endure these little apocalypses and we will allow them to change us, to let them turn the earth of our hearts and create new growth. May it be so. Amen.
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 Be inspired by love and anger, disturb my need and pain. Be informed of God's own bias, we ask God once again. How long must some folks suffer? How long can you abide? How long dare vain self-interest quaint age, we offer Earth's indifference its agony and rage. When will the wrong be righted? When will your justice come? When will the world be generous to all instead of some? God asks, who will go for me? Who will extend my reach? And who, when few will listen, will prophesy and preach? And who, when few bid welcome, will offer all they know? And who, when few dare follow, will walk the road I show?
Abby, will you begin us? Abby, it may be yes. You. There you go.
Yes. Sorry, I was just unmuting myself. Here now, this prayer by M. Barclay as an invitation to our many into one communion table. Individualism is destructive. Send greed and selfishness away. That learned refusal to acknowledge your own need for help, let it be gone as well. When possible, counter all impulses toward privatized survival with acts of love, collective and expansive, with caring for others and accepting care. Remember, we need each other. Remember the needs of your neighbors, literal and metaphorical. Remember the vulnerable. Remember, we are in this together, even when we don't act like it. People depend on your choices. You depend on the choices of others. This, a sacred and terrible truth woven into our flesh. So let this time be an opening to all the sources of connection we have lost in this era of pushing down, pushing through, pushing away, and pushing the pace. Let all that is soft, all that is slow, all that is gentle, all that is kind, all that is careful, be welcome home in each of us. We have such creative, powerful, generous, and brave capacities within us. We can choose to do things differently. Please repeat after me. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Earth, have mercy. Earth, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
And now is the time that we gather as a community, particularly in prayer. I would lift up these prayer requests, would ask that you surround Keegan and his family as they celebrate his graduation from South High School. I would ask that you would surround Shannon and our family as we mark her eighth grade promotion. I particularly would ask that you would pour your power and your spirit and your prayers upon all of our chaplains in our midst as they continue to powerfully minister in the midst of COVID-19. I would ask that you would continue to hold Anna, Roseanne's daughter, in your prayers as she continues to recover from a stroke.
I would ask that you would continue to pour your prayers and your spirit upon Ellie as she is getting a second opinion from Mayo and continuing to journey with pancreatic cancer. And I would ask that you would particularly welcome August and Angela and Elizabeth and Lulu into our midst and pray prayers of blessing upon that whole family and Ashley. What prayers would you lift up that we might pray together as a community?
I'd like to pray for my niece, Lori, who is has bone cancer. She's 50 and will probably die in the next couple of days. That she have a peaceful pass. Thanks.
I pray for endurance as all of us collectively hold what is coming next and what is happening now and what has happened to us in the past. And it can be a lot. And so may we help each other through it. May we take shifts, take breaks as we need to, so that we can continue to this, to do this work for the long term.
We give thanks to the Lord, but my mother-in-law Lola seems to be recovering from the coronavirus.
That we all are able to take time and sit down to find out what matters and what is important to others.
Ellen lifts up prayers for Colette, who is 23, living with Crohn's disease and struggling with a serious case of pneumonia after surgery at Mayo Methodist in Rochester. Let's hold Colette.
I extend my prayers with others for all of Minneapolis and the metro, that we move forward and can move beyond fear. But also a prayer of thanksgiving for my neighborhood coming together and people willing to have some hard conversations too, in the midst of making decisions on the fly and figuring out how those are made. And so prayers of thanksgiving for community and that we continue as community.
I ask for prayers for God to travel with Ellie's son, Keith, and his family, Jennifer, and their children as they travel from San Diego to come to Minneapolis here to be with Ellie this summer. May he hold them and make their travel easy.
I have a prayer for Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful that it is beautiful outside, that I went up to Lake Superior and saw the color of the blue lake, that somehow in the midst of all the tragedy and burned and boarded buildings, that still exists, that it's a consoling and revitalizing part of life. I'm really thankful that I got to see my family with proper social distance, and I want to count my blessings.
most amazing and powerful, gentle and loving God, we ask that you pour your spirit upon all of those that we have named out loud, Keegan and Shannon and all of the chaplains, and Anna and Ellie and Keith and Jennifer and their whole family, on Lori, on Lulu and August and their whole family. We would ask that you would pour your spirit upon Colette, on all of those, dear God, who need your healing and your presence and a palpable sense of you holding them. We lift up these prayers. We ask that you pour your energy and your spirit upon us, that we might have a spirit of endurance and that we might take shifts as we seek to be your marathon people in bending the arc of the universe toward justice. We give you great thanks, Holy One, for the spirit of truth and prophecy that you have placed in the heart of Abby and for her sermon and her presence with us in this community. We ask that you might continue to bless her ministry. Holy One, we give you thanks for the exquisite beauty that you put all around us, for all of our relations in the natural world that remind us of you, for Lake Superior and the trees that are bursting forth with life, for the green and the flowers and the sun and the rain and all that remind us of your beauty and your joy, even amidst this difficult time. We would ask that you would continue to pour your spirit upon all of those in leadership in our Black and Brown and Indigenous communities, that they might be given a spirit of justice, a spirit of endurance, a spirit of your joy and passion, that they might continue to lead us and that we might act in ways that make for solidarity and love and justice in your world. Holy One, we ask all of this. We lift up all of those who have been on our hearts but are not on our lips as of yet. Pour through us, speak through us, empower us to be your body in this broken and beautiful world as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother and Parent of us all, Loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and testing, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And now we remember together that on the night before Jesus was killed by those who feared him, on the night before he was beaten to death by those chanting China virus because he was Asian American, on the night before he was suffocated by the knee of a policeman, on the night before her trans body was murdered, on the night before he was infected inside an ICE facility, on the night before her body was destroyed by a pipeline, on the night before he died inside the nursing home, on the night before he was arrested and crucified. Jesus sat at the table with those he loved, and as they gathered, they did so with laughter and love, and they told stories and remembered all they had done together, healing and blessing, creatively resisting, worshiping and celebrating. And as they were celebrating, Jesus took some bread and broke it, and to remind them of all that had been and given to them strength for what lay ahead, he said, "This is my body, broken open and shared with each of you. Each time you eat this ordinary bread, remember the extraordinary transformative power of our lives when they are broken open for justice and love. Will each of you lift up whatever food you have and break it and bless it?"
Then he took the cup that had been raised in toasts and celebrations of all the good and great they had done, or at least attempted. And he said, "This is the cup of blessing. Each time you drink of this cup, you participate in the promise of new life here and now in communion with God. Will you raise your glasses and let us toast to one another and to life?" My friends, even as we partake around our individual tables, we are united together in the mystical communion that God offers to us. This table is open to all. You do not need to be a member of this church or any church to join us in this together communion. For we believe that Christ is the host, that Christ sets this table and all our many tables, and Christ welcomes all. At this time, I invite you to eat and drink. And as you do, please bless yourself or whomever you are eating with. And please look at all of the faces of those who are partaking and seeing the eye and the beauty of the body of Christ together over Zoom. Receive this post-communion prayer. Perhaps, even though the tables are separated by miles and cyberspace, by isolation and quarantine, perhaps the point and purpose of the feast is to remind us that we aren't really separate at all, that we never were, that we aren't now. Perhaps the body of Christ has always been stronger than whatever sought to harm or separate or suffocate or kill or demean or quell. Perhaps. Amen. My friends, now is the time in our worship service when we are invited to share in our offering time. We are invited to share whatever offerings we might have for the work of this quirky, beloved congregation that has been out praying with our feet in the streets and praying in our hearts in lockdown and singing and being with one another in mask making. We are invited to lift up whatever offerings we have to share with this community. I will put the link in the chat function if you'd like to make a donation to Lindale. And I would invite us to receive our morning offerings. Amen, Paul, and thank you. And thank you, Claire, for your beautiful music. As we share a time of thanksgiving in prayer, I invite you to put whatever prayers of thanksgiving you might share in our chat function as well for the rest of our service. But Holy One, we lift up so many prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving and awe, perhaps especially in this time when the vectors of oppression seem so powerful, when fire destroys and life is suffocated out of your beloved children. We give you thanks for the ways in which you remind us of all the ways that your justice love is bursting forth around us. We give you thanks again for Reverend Abby and her prophetic voice. We give you thanks for all of the beloveds in this community, for all the ways that we are seeking to be your body in the world. We give you thanks for the ways in which you refresh us at your table again and again. And we ask, Holy One, that the offerings that have been lifted up, that we continue to discern ways to use them that would be about your justice love in this world. And so we ask that you bless these offerings and the offerings of our lives. We ask all of it in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great. And my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. You fixed your sight on your servant's pride, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall your name be blessed, could the world be about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you'll bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. Though I am small, my God, my all, you work great things in me. And your mercy will last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Your very name puts the proud to shame, and to those who would for you yearn. You will show your might, put the strong to flight, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. From the halls of power to the fortress tower, not a stone will be left unstone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor will weep no more for the food they can never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fire of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. Though the nations rage from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's crushing grasp. This saving word that our forebears heard is the promise which holds us bound. Till the spear and rod can be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring.
Thank you again so much for your attentive listening today. It was so wonderful to be with you this morning, and I'm grateful to have joined this church and to continue to be a part of this community. And now go from this place. Whoa, that sounds differently when you're doing online church, doesn't it? It's been a while since I've done this. Go from this screen. yes. Now go forth. Go forth trusting that God will provide that which we need to find our way through apocalypses, little and big, and that the old way will give birth to the new. Amen. Go in peace.
Amen.